Dear friends in Jesus Christ, among those who think there is a heaven and hope that one day they will go there, we can clearly identify three different categories of people. First category, people who are repentant. I'm going to talk more about what that means, but people who are repentant, people who only look repentant. What am I talking about? Just like I talked about here with Enzo, we have two glasses that look the same, but if I would put enough salt in one and enough sugar in the other, they would still look the same, but they would taste very, very different. So that's what I'm getting at here with the second category, people who only look repentant. With the third category, we're talking about people who are openly unrepentant. So there's nothing in their lives where we would even think that they were a Christian, other than them possibly saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Other than that, we would have nothing going on that we would even know about them being in Christ. So those are the three categories I'm thinking about here. What I want to mention here now is this idea that there are two kinds of repentance. Repentance is something that, a word that we're throwing around all the time in the church, but understand there are two different kinds. The first kind I'm talking about is what I'm calling ultimate repentance. So that's talking about turning from trust in self to trust in Jesus for eternal life. No one can do that of himself. That has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. He does that through the Bible. And he even does that through baptism for an infant. That infant doesn't naturally trust in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is giving the infant that gift of faith by which he is trusting in Jesus. That is ultimate repentance. That is the kind of repentance that takes us from the path going to hell and puts us on the path going to heaven. But then, let's also understand ongoing repentance, which is critical for everyone who is a Christian. So when we are Christians, we're talking about continuing to be sorry when we sin, continuing to turn from our sin, and continuing to look to Jesus for forgiveness. So think about it here as human beings, physically alive, we are continually breathing. Our heart is continually beating. That's what I mean by continual repentance. So here we are, just had a wrong thought. So right away, I should be sorry I had the wrong thought, and I should be looking to Christ who did everything to take away my sins. So we don't wait till we get to church to confess our sins. We're just living our lives, and just like we're breathing, fell into sin, sorry for that sin, dear God, help me to not continue in it, and looking to Christ and knowing that in him I am forgiven. So we have the ultimate repentance, God moving us from death to life, from hell to heaven, and then we're living in repentance. I hope that makes some sense thinking about the two critical kinds. Well, going further here, in this sermon, I'm going to identify people that are in category one and category two that I mentioned a few minutes ago. If anyone is in category three, living in such a way that you can't even have any idea that they are in Christ, they are living in open unrepentance. If that's true for anyone here or for anyone you know, what they desperately need to do is contact me so I can sit down with them as soon as possible and we can dig into the Bible in a really serious way. That's what they need to do. It's only by the Spirit of God working through the truth of God that will set them free. Well, let's go on here to the first thing I want to focus on. So we're in Amos chapter 5, picking up in verse 18, and we're talking about people that are in category number two, people who only look like they're repentant. So going right to the text, it says, "Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be for you? It will be darkness and not light. As when a man," think about this, "as when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him or goes home, like your home is your place of refuge, goes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light, even gloom with no brightness in it? So God knows every heart. God knows whether we are truly repentant or not, or whether we are just appearing to be repentant, or whether we're completely unrepentant. God knows every heart. Many who are pretending are so thoroughly deceived, they don't know they are pretending. But if anyone is pretending and they know it, boy, now is the time to wake up from that. Now is the time to repent, because God knows the situation. And if anyone continues in the state of pretending to the end, boy, they're going to be so sad when God sends them away forever. The text goes on. What we have here is the Lord speaking to the people in the northern kingdom of Israel who are going through the motions of worship, and yet they are unrepentant. He said to them, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. All this outward gathering and offering to God all that he has called them to offer, and doesn't matter how wonderful it looks, without repentance, those people are disgusting to God, and they will be condemned forever. God wants us to understand that. Going back to the idea of the glasses, the two red ones look the same, so I can't tell. You can't tell either, but God knows, though, who is simply going through the motions. And then the text says, God says to them, take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. And then he tells what he wants. He said, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So that's what he's looking for, just like the image that you can see there. You can see an awful lot of water running down, and that's not a water that like starts and stops. It is something that just keeps going and going and going, kind of like Niagara Falls. That's what God is talking about here. He's calling for repentance. He's calling for justice. The people were not living in a just way. They were probably using like false weights. Like if somebody came to buy something, rather than put up the 1 pound weight, oh, I've got a weight here that looks like a 1 pound weight. It's only a 3/4 pound weight. I'll put that up on the scale. There was all this injustice going on. God is calling them to start doing what is right. So repentance, it is sorrow and faith. But whenever the sorrow and faith is there, that's always going to include turning from the sin. Like for people who don't come to church, if they're repentant, what does that mean? Oh, that means they begin to come. If they don't begin to come, then they're not repentant. So there are many things that are very much show on the outside whether we are repentant or not. Now, what about the ones who come all the time? Does that mean they're automatically repentant? It doesn't, because in their heart, they could be thinking, oh, I'm going to go there every week. I want to make sure that God lets me into heaven someday. That's not faith, but it sure looks like faith, though. So only God knows what's going on in the heart. Well, let me put it this way here. Think about when people are repentant. Let's understand, only then will they keep being righteous in God's sight. Only when we have that true repentance will we keep being righteous, and that's exactly what we need. If God sees us to be righteous, we're in. If God doesn't see us to be righteous, we're out. Also, too, people who are repentant, only then will they keep doing what is just. If people are unrepentant, oh, they're doing what is right when the boss is watching, but when the boss walks away, then they're going to take a nap. But God wants us to know he's watching all the time. He wants us to keep doing what is right. That's what happens when we are repentant. Only then will the Lord accept their offerings. The Lord is saying here in the text that he's disgusted with the offerings when they're not coming from a repentant heart, and then only then will the Lord accept their praises. So God is saying to us, make sure your heart is right, and then everything will fall into place. It's going to be amazing, but if your heart is not right, it's never going to work out. No matter what, it's never, ever going to work out. Let me go on to the second reading here. So we're in Matthew chapter 25. We have the parable of the 10 virgins that Jesus is going to tell us. And keep in mind that the wise ones, those are the ones in category one. They are the ones who are truly repentant. The ones who are unwise or foolish, they're the ones in category two. So they looked like they were ready. They looked like they were Christians. They looked like they were repentant. But God knew that they were not. And when Jesus came, they were not ready. And there was no time to get ready. That's going to happen to many people. You can see with the image there that the ones on the right, they were ready and they were welcomed in. On the left side of the image, those are people who had to try to get ready at the last moment. And of course, that's going to be impossible for anyone. And they come to the door and they knock and they plead, and yet the door is shut forever. God wants us to understand that will happen for many. So he wants us to know about it now so we can what? So we can be truly repentant. Jesus said, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins. Let's understand he's talking about people who thought they were ready for Jesus' return. Comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is Jesus. 5 of them were foolish. That means they were unprepared. They were unrepentant. Look good on the outside, but in their hearts, they were unrepentant. And 5 of them were prudent or wise. That means they were repentant. They were ready for when he came. And then Jesus said, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. I happen to have a lamp that is just the kind that they would have been using. So it's a lamp with a little handle right here. And then you put the oil in here. You have your wick come out at this end. And it's just a little tiny lamp. But you can imagine, though, it doesn't hold much oil. So it's going to burn out fairly quickly. So what's important is you have an additional supply of oil. So when the lamp starts to burn out, you can add more oil. That's what's being spoken of here by Jesus in this particular reading. And then it says in verse 5, now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. So the bridegroom, that is Jesus, he will come on the last day, and he will receive his bride, and his bride is the church. Who is the church? The church includes everyone who really, truly is repentant. Notice here, too, that all 10 of them become drowsy, and they sleep. All 10 are willing to sleep because they think they are ready. Can you imagine if someone was going to bed at night? It's late, it's their normal bedtime, they're ready to go to bed, and they find out, oh, at the crack of dawn, Jesus will arrive, and they know late the evening before, they know they are not ready. Are they just going to go to sleep? No, they're gonna give me a call, or they're gonna get out their Bible. They're gonna do something radical to find out how they can be ready. They're not gonna be sleeping at all. But all these women, they're all sleeping because they all think they are ready. Let's understand that's exactly where the devil wants everyone to be, thinking they are ready, when in fact they are not ready. That is where most of the world is today. And then Jesus said, but at midnight there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. At the moment when Jesus comes, that is when people will realize, oh, I'm not ready. I thought I was, but I'm not ready. Will they have any time to get ready? Let's see what happens here. Jesus said, and while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. That's what we're seeing here in the image. Later, the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. In other words, we have no relationship with each other. You are unrepentant. You were trusting in yourself. So we had no relationship. I don't know you, and I'm not going to open for you. Think about what Jesus prayed there in John 17, praying to God the Father. He prayed, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See, it's about relationship with God the Father, and when we have a relationship with God the Father, we certainly can only have that because of a relationship with God the Son. Jesus also made it so clear, anyone who rejects the Son automatically rejects the Father. How many people around the world are saying, oh, I believe in God? Think about people in Israel. Oh, I believe in God. Think about people of the religion of Islam. Oh, I believe in God. They're all rejecting Jesus, and they do not know God the Father. You cannot know him apart from knowing Jesus Christ. So we have all this deception out there. People think they're okay when, in fact, they're not. And then finally he says at the end, he said, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. So he's saying, because it's impossible to know what is critical, be ready now and continue to be ready every moment of every day until either we die or Christ comes during our lifetime. That's the only way to have it work out well. And then let's go back to the three categories for a moment. So people who are repentant, what does that mean? They are aware of their helplessness to save themselves. If anyone in here is thinking, oh, Christ did a whole bunch of stuff, but I've added a little bit. Hey, I come to church, I give some money, I help when we clean up outside. I've done something. So that means that's going to help me in some way. If you're in that category, I'm here to tell you, you are unrepentant. You are on the path to eternal punishment. God wants us to know it's only those who are aware of their helplessness are in the category of being repentant. And then they are sorry for their sins. If we're really sorry for our sins, then we're going to work on turning from them. Anyone who says, oh, I'm sorry, and then they just continue right down that same path, let's understand, they are not sorry. That's a component of being repentant. We understand the phrase, actions speak louder than words. So if people have the right words, but the wrong actions, that means that the words are not true. That means the people are giving a false impression. And keep in mind, many people are self-deceived. They're so deceived they don't even know they're deceived. The reason why I say that is, that was me for almost 20 years, I was deceived and I didn't even know it. So understand, it can happen so easily, and it's such a powerful thing. When I was in that situation, I did not know. So sorry for their sins, trusting in Jesus, not just in general, but trusting in him for eternal life, for our entrance into heaven. There are many people that trust in Jesus for all kinds of things, but if they're not trusting in him for eternal life, they are not repentant. And then also, what happens when people who are repentant, they are, in an ongoing way, they are denying what they want, and they are following what Jesus wants for them. These are all things that are important for those who are repentant. Does it mean that we're going in all those ways perfectly all the time? It doesn't, though, but that is the desire of our hearts. And then the way that actually is lived out in our lives, we're trying to do our best, but what happens? We're falling into sin. The Holy Spirit is convicting us of our sins. We are trying to turn from our sins. We are looking to Jesus and knowing we are forgiven. That's how we go through life. What about the other category here? Those who only look repentant. Well, they're not aware of their helplessness. They think that somehow their goodness is going to save them. They're not sorry for their sins. They're not trusting in Jesus. And they are falsely thinking that they are in category number one. Let me tell you a story about what happened in my life when I was in my late 20s. That's when God worked a major change in my life. Here I am going to a Missouri Synod congregation. We worshiped about 500 people there. They had about 1,500 people on the membership list, and I'd been a member there my whole life. So I knew a lot of those 500 people. I didn't know them, you know, super well, but I'd been there all that time. This is how I looked at the congregation. I said, I think I have this figured out. So we have 500 people, and all of us are Christians. But then there's a small group within that congregation. I called them the super Christians. What did that mean? That meant they were serious about the Word of God. They were serious about living for Christ. They were different than I was, but I was a Christian, and they were the super Christians. And then came a day after I'd been reading the Bible every day and praying and memorizing verses for about 3 or 4 months, and the Holy Spirit was at work, and the Holy Spirit moved me over into the super Christian category. I didn't even get what was going on prior to this, but on that day, immediately, I knew that I was in Christ. And I knew that my sins were forgiven, but you know the other thing I knew? This was such a revelation to me. The other thing I knew was, it wasn't that all these people were Christian and these people were the super Christians. It was more like these people over here, the small group, these are the Christians. They're in category one. And most of the rest of the congregation, they're in category two. In other words, they're thinking they're okay. They have some outward appearance of being Christians, but many of them probably were not. Let me say one more thing here, which I think really fits in here well. During the time when I was not trusting in Christ, it was as if the forces of evil were working on me, and they kept telling me that I was a good person, I was on the right track, I was doing well, like comforting me that everything was fine. But it wasn't fine, though. I wasn't repentant. I was trusting in me. And then, when the Holy Spirit moved me over here, then the forces of evil worked on me in another way. How did they work on me? Now they're saying to me, you rotten, no good person. How could you ever think God would accept you? Look at all those sins you're committing. So when we're in a bad situation, the forces of evil tell us that we're in a good situation, And then when we really know Christ, that's when the forces of evil try to tell us that we're rotten, no good people, and there's no way God will ever accept us. Now, there are some people that are like in Christ right from baptism, right on to the end of their lives. Hey, that's a great thing. This category here, for those who only look repentant, that is the most deceptive thing, because everything kind of feels okay, everything looks okay, and yet in reality, it's not okay. How do you find that out? I'm going to come to that here in just a moment. What about with the third category, people who are openly unrepentant? Well, they're similar to category two, not aware of their helplessness, not sorry for their sins, not trusting in Jesus for eternal life. And then think about the last one here, living as if the Bible is not true and Jesus did not live and die to save them from eternal punishment. I mean, think about it. We have the very Son of God, and he did everything, and it was so difficult and so painful, and yet they are thinking somehow that they're going to go to heaven, and yet they have nothing to do with the very Son of God who did everything for them. Like, how could that ever work out? But yet still, people think it's going to work out. God wants us to know that it won't. What is the answer? What is the remedy? Well, the Bible is the remedy. So it's so critical that we read it, and not just reading it. I mean, people tell me, oh, I read through the whole Bible in a year or something. Hey, that's great. But if you read it and you don't think about it, it might not help you. So critical to think about it. And then we have to believe it's true. Every bit of it, we have to believe it is true. And then it's so important that we apply it to our lives. If you're in category one, keep following those steps and God will grow you up in Christ. If you're in category two and you're deceived, or if you think you might be deceived, follow those steps and God will open your eyes to the truth. What if you're in category three and you've got nothing going on with the things of God? I'm not even saying come to church right away, but I'm saying do those things with the Bible and God will open your eyes to the truth and God will save you and God will put you on the path to eternal life and it will be wonderful forever. So the Bible is the answer with all these different things. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, for all who are in category one, please keep them, grow them, bless them. For all who are in category two, may you help them to dig into your word. May you open their spiritual eyes and may you transform their lives. And then, dear Father, for those in category three, we pray that you would show them their terrifying situation. Show them the grave trouble that they are in, and then get them into your word. Get them into your word in a most serious way. Open their eyes to the truth and lead them to true repentance. Dear Father, as the pastor here of Bethlehem, I want that, of course, for all of our members, but I even want these things for the entire world. Wouldn't it be so wonderful if more and more, and even if everyone truly had repentance. Dear Father, keep us in that way and grant it to many, many others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.